We're so thankful to be able to come to you from the Lord with a gospel message, not a religious sermon, but a gospel message. For the Lord has raised up a thought in our heart and mind and sent us over here that we might bring this to you for your edification and for His glory. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of the Revelation. The book of the Revelation, chapter number 4, and we'll begin reading with verse number 1. The title of our lesson today is, Come Up Hither. The verse starts off with this phrase, After this, I looked. It's important that you understand what he means by saying, After this. I remind you again that in Revelation 1:19, the book is divided into three different categories. He said, write the things which thou hast seen. That's chapter number 1. And the things which are. That's chapters 2 and 3 about the seven churches in Asia. And he said, and the things which shall be hereafter. That's chapter 4 through the end of the book. So when he says, after this I looked, then he's through looking at the earthly religions, through looking at the seven churches of Asia, looking at those things which he has seen and the things which are, and now he comes to the third category. So he says, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Now you know who that door is, John chapter 10. The book of John, chapter 10, and verse number 7. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. So this door is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ opening up an opportunity for him to come into the things of the Spirit. Verse number 8 of John 10. All that ever came as such, as a shepherd before me, as a door before me, are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. So we have no doubt about this. We don't need to buy Dr. Bottlestopper's commentary and try to figure this out. It's just plainly said in that passage in John chapter 10, verses 7 through 10, I am the door. So the door open in heaven is giving you understanding that Jesus Christ has made it back to heaven. He has ascended, Acts chapter 1 and verse 9, and he has sent the Holy Spirit. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me. That's the person of the Lord. He is the first voice, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. So, the third category in Revelation 1:19 is the things that must be hereafter. In other words, we're going to open up the church age, but to show you the church age, we're going to have to show you the administration of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're going to have to show you the Lamb's kingdom and how he intends to rule it. So he says, come up hither and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Now, you've probably heard most of your life, as I have, that this is the rapture of the church. That's as big a falsehood as you can get in religion. This is not the rapture of the church. No doubt about it. Read your Bible. What does it say? It says in verse 2, what's the result of Christ telling John to come up hither? And immediately, I was in the Spirit. It translated the church from a carnal obedience under the law in the old economy to the new economy and to bringing them into the kingdom of heaven. into the kingdom of God. They were being born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. John 3:3, 5, and 8. So we see the Bible tells you that this is not a rapture. It can't be, because it tells you what it is. And immediately, I was in the Spirit. Now, if you've just got to have a rapture, go to Revelation chapter 11 and verse number 12. Now, the word rapture means to be enwrapped, to be brought into the glory, being brought into a spiritual awareness. And so I believe there's no doubt about it, the church is going to be taken up off the earth. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. That's a rapture. But I'm not saying there is no rapture. I'm saying Revelation 4:1 does not give you the rapture. It's not talking about the rapture. How do you know? Because the next verse says, the result of God telling me to come up hither was, I was in the Spirit. That's it. Now, go to Revelation chapter 11 and verse number 12. And I heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, what's the next three words? Come up hither. Same exact word. Look it up in the Greek. It's the exact same phrase. So if you've got to have a come up hither for a rapture, you can't have it at Revelation 4:1. It has to be had at Revelation 11 and 12. Nobody tells you that. What I couldn't understand, if you make the rapture the taking the church out of the earth in Revelation chapter 4 verse 1, then what is all the rest of the book of the Revelation about? You don't take your army out before the battle starts. We don't take the church out before all of these visions are given, the trumpets and the seals and the vials and all of that, and the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ and the casting out of the devil. What is all that for if immediately, as soon as we see the seven churches of Asia, bam, the church is gone. What's the sense of the rest of the book? Doesn't make any sense. Never has to me. So then in Revelation chapter 11 and verse 12, you find your come up hither. Now, what's the next phrase? And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud. There is your ascension. The come up hither in Revelation 4:1 is God sending the Holy Spirit and bringing a dead orthodoxy into a spiritual liveliness and being born again. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So in Revelation 11 and verse 12, he says, come up hither, and they ascended up to heaven in the cloud. Bam! There it is. There's your rapture. Get it right, folks. Study your Bible. Read your Bible. Pray to God. Ask Him to help you. Get rid of all that junk that you've been loaded up with of false millennialism, premillennialism, postmillennialism, amillennialism, all that stuff. Throw it out and just go back to believing the Bible and studying the Word of God. Let me tell you something. You don't need all those study courses from Dr. Bottlestopper. You've got something far greater than that. You have the exact same Holy Spirit that John had. You've got the same Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ sent back to earth on the day of Pentecost. You've got the Holy Spirit that moved holy men of God to write these things. You are not at any loss. You need to get back to God and cry out to God and say, give me the Spirit. And God said, you know what? If your son asked you for a fish, you wouldn't give him a stone. If he asked you for a piece of bread, you wouldn't give him a serpent. How much more does your heavenly Father know to give the Spirit to those that ask? Have you asked? Why would you stay under that stuff with the wrong come up hither? That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. In fact, the next verse says the result of the come up hither in Revelation 4:1 is, immediately I was in the Spirit. There ain't no rapture in that. John didn't levitate. He didn't get one inch off the ground. But he got into the presence of the awareness of God and His glory. That's what the Lord is talking about as He talked to the woman at the well. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's the come up hither. Come on into the spirit and truth of the worship of God. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. If you can worship God in spirit and in truth, you are sought of by the Father. And if you worship God in spirit and in truth, then, dear soul, you have been brought up into the Spirit and caught up into things of the Spirit. Let me show it to you in your Bible. Go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherein He loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Now, you're not dead physically, but you're dead in trespasses and sins. You're spiritually dead. Listen, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together. That is bringing you into the Spirit. The word quicken in the 1611 King James Bible means to make alive. If you tear your fingernail off in the quick, you come alive. It hurts. The word quicken means to come alive. Even when we were dead in sins, God hath made us alive together with Christ. Jesus said, Because I live, ye shall live also. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. You're driving down the road, and there's a vineyard. You don't say, There's a vine, there's a branch. You say, There's a vineyard. It's all one. So we are part of Christ. Christ is part of us. He is the vine that has the root that draws life from God. And He sends that root, that life that we call the sap up the root, up the branch, up the stem rather, and out into the branch that you may bring forth fruit. And you know what the fruit of the Spirit is. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and meekness and such, as it tells you in Ephesians 5. So we are connected to Christ, and He says, even when we were dead in sins, there you were, dead in trespasses and sins, and God quickened you and made you alive. By grace are you saved. Now listen to verse 6. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is what's happening in Revelation 4, 1 and 2. Come up hither. It's time for the church to quit being carnal. It's time for the church to enter into life. It's time for the church to have those things that God told them about in Ezekiel 36, and I won't go back over there and read it. You can. Where He says, I'm going to take out of you your stony heart and give you a fleshly heart. That's what this is. God making all things new. I was dead in trespasses and sins, and God has quickened us and raised us up together and caused us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What is a Christian? You say, well, it's a fella on earth looking towards heaven. Nope, that's a religionist. What is a Christian? A Christian is a fellow in heaven looking back towards the earth. For you are raised up together and you sit in heavenly places. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Whatsoever things are pure and lovely, think on these things. God has changed you. He's elevated you spiritually. You're no longer of Adam. You are now of Christ. You have been brought into the realm of the spiritual. Come up hither. That's the new birth. Come up hither. That's God raising you up in Christ and causing you to have an understanding. Let me read you that verse. I'll read you this verse quite often. 1 John 5 and verse number 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even is his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, and this is eternal life. How do you know Christ? Because with Christ came an understanding that we may know him that is true. How do you know him that is true? Because I'm in him that is true. 1 John 5:20. So come up hither. It's nothing more than Ephesians 2 verses 5 and 6. It's not the rapture of the church. If you try to get a rapture out of Revelation 4:1, you'll wind up with a rupture. And it will mess up your Bible understanding. It will destroy your comprehensive spiritual understanding of the things of God throughout the rest of this book. If you start off wrong, you can't continue on right. So, you've got two come up hither. Well, Revelation 4:1 is the rapture of the church. That's when the church is going out. Well, wait a minute. It's just got started. We're only in the third segment. Write the things which are, the things which you have seen, and the things which shall be. There's only three. And after this, I look. After I looked at the first two things, here's the third thing that comes along, and it says, come up hither, and the result? You tell me, what's the result in Revelation 4:2 of come up hither? Immediately, I was in the Spirit. Now, that's what God says. Do you want to stick with your millennialism if it's contrary to that? Are you going to come on and know the Lord? Are you going to come on and believe God? How can we consider ourselves Christians if we don't obey and believe the Word of God as it's laid out to us? Well, I'm going to make out of it what I want. Well, I've always believed this. Yeah, you've always been wrong. If you haven't seen it like this, you've been wrong. So you want to stay wrong? No. Come up hither. And immediately, I was in the Spirit. So it's Ephesians 2, 5, and 6. Go to Colossians. Philippians, Colossians, chapter 3, and verse number 1. Listen. If ye then be risen with Christ. I did. I can't be resurrected. They ain't talking about a physical resurrection. It's talking about being born again. That's another thing that we have not been taught properly, is that our regeneration is a resurrection. What's the condition of the sinner? Dead in trespasses and sin. What does a dead man need? Life. What do you call giving a dead man life? A resurrection. Dear soul, the reason that we know we're going to be resurrected, our physical bodies and your granny and everybody else that died in Christ and all the graves and all the places in all the world, they're all going to be resurrected physically, is because we have already been resurrected spiritually. My regeneration is a resurrection. Listen. That's Colossians 3:1. Just for a minute, glance back over to Colossians 2:12. Buried with him, and the last word in verse 11 is Christ. Buried with Christ in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith. Where are you, Christian? I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:6. So a Christian is one who seated in heavenly places, judging things on the earth by the view that he has from the viewpoint of being resurrected with Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. He walked around on this earth for 40 days and 40 nights before he ascended to heaven. Why did he do that? To make you understand and see that you have been raised from the dead in your new birth. But now you've got to live out your life before you are ascended to God. Same pattern. So, Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, that is, born again, seek those things which are above. Well, if I'm seeking things which are above, then I am not above. I'm still on the earth. But I am to have my appetites and my desires and my goals coming from a viewpoint of that which is in heaven. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. So we see that I am a Christian walking around on planet earth, right? But, spiritually speaking, the Father has sought me out to worship him in spirit and in truth. The Son has made a completed and full atonement. The Holy Spirit has come and made application of the Father's and the Son's work and raised me up and caused me to have an awareness and an understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ because I am in him. So, come up hither. I have. You're still here. You're not raptured. Well, spiritually I'm raptured. I'm not the same man I was before God saved me. Just so once I joined the church and lived a hypocritical life for 7 years, wasn't born again, but I was an authorized, full-fledged, card-carrying, baptized, tithe-paying member of a church. But I was lost as a snake. But once God saved me, he made me see that joining a religious order has nothing to do with being born into a spiritual organism. Just so you can be baptized at every creek in Georgia till every tadpole knows you by your first name, you still gonna go to hell, but you go to hell wet. You need to be born again. Come up hither. That's what the devil has been so pleased to do, is do away with the come up hither in Revelation 4:1 and say, well, you just church members, you all right. No, you got to come up hither. Have done with lesser things. Rise up, O men of God. So we see, if ye then be risen with Christ, born again, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on the things of the earth. Why? Because as pertaining to the things of the earth, you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. I'm dead to all the world anymore. Wouldn't you like to win $1 million? No, thank you. Have you seen what happens to those people that get all that money? They have thieving relatives come out of the woodwork, drive them crazy. And there's a saying, a fool and his money are soon parted. I don't want that responsibility. I don't care for all that mess. Love not the world, Jesus said, neither the things that are in the world. He said it through John in 1 John chapter 4 and 5. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For he that hath the love of the world hath not the love of the Father in him. Would you like to ask yourself how many of those politicians that we say, well, they're good, fine Christian people. Would you like to put that ruler down on them? Do they love the world? Do they love money? The love of the money is the root of all evil. Money's not the root of all evil. The love of money is. And do they love the things of the world? Listen to the next verse. He that hath the love of the world, listen, hath not the love of the Father in him. That's Bible. That's what God said. Now, I don't care how much you want your favorite singer or, you know, your favorite entertainer or your favorite football player or, you know, sports figure or your favorite senator or congressman or whatever, how much you really want him to be Christian. You say that he's a Christian. But just ask you one thing. Do they love the world? Do they love the things of the world? Then no doubt about it, because the next verse says, they have not the love of the Father in them. God said, I am not going to love them that are loving the world. You need to come up hither. Be born again. That's what this is talking about. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3. Ephesians 2, verses 5 and 6. Now, this next come up hither that we saw in Revelation 11 and verse number 12, it doesn't say immediately I was in the Spirit. What does it say? Revelation 11, 12. And I heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither, and they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Just as plain as a nose on your face. One of them says, come up hither, I was in the Spirit. Not a rapture, but a regeneration, being brought into the things of the Spirit. The door himself is opened. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Christ has opened the way for salvation for you, and you come through him to the Father. So you come up hither into the realm of the spiritual, into the realm of the regenerate, into the realm of the born again, into the realm of those who have, that God has made all things new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He's still on the earth. She's still on the earth. She's still the daughter of her parents. He's still the son of his parents. She's still the mother and the wife of her family. She's born again. She's different now, but she's still the same. Dear soul, they have come up hither, been born again. God has quickened them and made them alive and caused them to be able to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Not a wreck, but a regeneration. Your rapture is in Revelation 11 and verse 12. For there it says, come up hither, and they ascended up to heaven in a cloud. Brother Gene, you showed us some scripture to show, to reveal to us what the come up hither was in Revelation 4 and 1. Have you got any scripture to show us what the rapture is? Excuse me, the come up hither in Revelation 11, 12? I sure have. Go with me to Acts chapter number 1. Go with me in Acts chapter number 1. In verse 7, he says, it's not for you to know. There's something that you don't know. But in verse 8, he said, this is what's going to happen to you. You will know this. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. You don't have to teach a cow to moo and to give milk. It gives milk and says moo because it is a cow. You don't have to teach a true born-again Christian to be a witness. He or she is a witness. Can't help it. They're the salt of the earth. They flavor everybody else's life. They are the light of the world. They bring light into the darkness of everybody else's life. You can't help it. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost part of the world. And when he had spoken these words, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. And they said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Is that enough? Do you see it? This is the come up hither that's spoken of in Revelation 11 and verse 12. Chapter 4 and verse 1. Come up hither. Chapter 4, verse 2. Immediately I was in the Spirit. Still on the same zip code. Still in the same address. Still in the same frame of body. No, not an inch taller or shorter. Living right where he was. Same name, same address. But in Revelation 11, 12, the come up hither says, and they ascended up to heaven. So we see the ascension in 11, 12 of Revelation is like the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ who ascended up to heaven, and you will come up hither. Paul clearly tells us the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's what he says. So you are to comfort one another with these words, as God has promised you that you would be raised up. There's no doubt about God is going to bring you to himself. And so we see that there is a difference in the exact same words. Now, Jesus spoke Hebrew to them, but if we look these up in the Greek, they are the exact same Greek word. Listen. For if we believe that Jesus died, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Have you ever stopped to think about how many souls are in eternity? It must be some awful big place. All the born-again believers in all the world, in all the nations, in all the ages are there with him. And he's going to bring them with him. Verse 15, 1 Thessalonians 4. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain, still on the earth, we had died yet, unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them that are asleep, those that are already dead. For the Lord himself, the Lord who is the Lord of the living and the dead, he's the Lord of those of us who are still here on earth. He's the Lord of those who have died and gone on, and their spirits are with him in glory. And the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice as of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then, we which are alive and remain. What about those of us that are still here when the trumpet blows and the end of the age comes? We're second to go up. And we will rise. We will come up hither. But not as described in Revelation 4:1, but as described in Revelation 11:12. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. As they come flying by, we'll go up with them. And it says, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. That's what it said in Acts chapter 1, verse number 9. That Jesus went up in the clouds. The clouds received him. And in Revelation 11, 12, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud. And their enemies beheld them. Some are very ardent about it, for those are the clouds in the sky right now. That's all it means. Some say, no, that's clouds of glory. I
time ago for that book. Clouds of glory. And it says, then when we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord, Lord of God, in the air. Ain't that good? To meet the Lord in the air. We ain't going to wait till we get all the way into the abode. The father ran down the road to hug the son. He didn't wait for him to get home. Well, I wish he'd hurry up. I'm sitting here waiting on him. No. When he saw it and recognized that walk and recognized that image, he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And we'll meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, this is what I'm trying to do today. Comfort one another with these words. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I'm not going to argue with Dr. Bottle Stopper about premillennial, postmillennial, amillennial, or panmillennial. You know what panmillennial? They just said, well, it's going to pan out something. My responsibility is not to debate, but my responsibility is to declare. And all I can do is say the same thing my master did, who sent me to you, and say, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. If you've got the ears to be able to hear this, then God will set you free from the errors of all the ungodliness that has come upon this earth, especially since the Scofield Bible was printed with all of Scofield's mind printed in the margin as if it were the inspired word of God itself, and led us into all kinds of error. Do you know what you have to do to believe all that error? You have to put Christ off the throne. Don't argue with me. I know it's true. I've been through all that. Do you realize how much those who call themselves millennialists, well, the pre-poster are, despise the doctrine of Christ's present reign? But the Bible clearly tells us, Mark 16:19, that Jesus was brought up to heaven and he sat down at the right hand of God. Let me read it to you. Mark chapter 16. Verse number 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. That's not complicated. There's nothing confusing in that. He just said he was received up to heaven. You believe that? Well, yeah. Acts 1:9 says he received up to heaven. Mark says the next thing happened, he sat on the right hand of God. Jesus Christ is presently reigning Lord. But if you're going to go with all that other stuff, you're going to have to take him off his throne. And you're going to have to set him aside. And dear soul, I don't want to be a part of anybody or anything that takes Christ off his throne. Because he said to us, and we quoted in the Great Commission, okay, we got to go out and win souls to Jesus. What are we going to do? Well, get us a big old banner and put it across the front of the church here and say, go ye into all the world because all authority is given me in heaven and in earth. Wait a minute. You don't usually hear Matthew 28:18 quoted, just 19 and 20. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel here, preach and teach them. You know, baptize them and then fall, you know. But what about verse 18? All authority is given me in heaven and in earth. That's what Mark said. And he said, once he had been given all authority and was raised up to heaven, there wasn't but one place to sit, the King of Kings. You don't sit him on a stool in the back of the congregation. He sits on his Father's throne above all and given him the name which is above every name in this world and also in the worlds to come, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2:8-10. Dear soul, listen. Jesus Christ is presently reigning Lord. You will have to do away with that and set it aside if you go with millennialism, Scofieldism, all that stuff. But if you, and you're going to have to say, well, Revelation 4:1, we're going to have to cram it into this place. My wife's grandmother, bless her heart, I believe she's a dear old saint of God. Used to call her Ma. Little shriveled up little woman. Love crossword puzzles. No, jigsaw puzzles. But you had to be careful with her because she'd take off one shoe and lay the scissors down on the table beside that shoe. And if a puzzle, piece of puzzle didn't fit, she got them scissors and trimmed it. And if it still wouldn't fit, took that shoe and banged it in there. You say, well, that's kind of silly. Maybe kind of funny, but it's kind of silly. That's what people are doing who try to make sure that the rapture, quote unquote, is taught to us by Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. They are spiritually destroying the Word of God and banging it in and making it fit their doctrine. Well, we're premillennialists and we don't want to have anything to do with anybody else that's not. Did you know that I have been thrown out of places and thrown out of religious orders that would not even hold me to be a born-again Christian if they thought I was not a premillennial Christian? You had to actually sign your name or they wouldn't let you join their church that you were a premillennialist. Dear soul, there's only one thing that I need to sign my name to for you to receive me in fellowship, and that is that I believe that Jesus Christ is very God. That I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. That I believe that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God come to take away the sin of the world. That I receive Him as my Lord and Savior, and I am no more my own. I'm bought with a price, and I am to worship and honor and serve and glorify Him. That's it. Our fellowship is with the Father. And if you fellowship with the Father, 1 John chapter 1 says your fellowship is with us, but not them. They're like Ma with her scissors in her shoe. This going to have to be forced to fit our doctrine because we got our doctrine straight, but we don't believe that Jesus Christ is present. I'll tell you what you do. You get up in your premillennial church and you continually make the statement that Jesus Christ is presently reigning Lord, and you find out real quick that you're not accepted anymore. Just try it. Don't believe me. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is presently reigning Lord? I read it to you. Mark 16:19. Let me read it to you again. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Times past spoke by the prophets. Now he said, come up hither, because he hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Who, being the brightness of His glory, Jesus Christ is as bright as the Father's glory. Can't tell any difference. And the express image of His person, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, and upholding all things by the word of His power, watch it now, when He had by Himself purged our sins, next two words, sat down, where? On the right hand of the Majesty on high. Mark 16:19, Hebrews 1:3, both say when Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, he sat down at the right hand of God. And dear soul, it tells you here when he did more specifically. When he had by himself purged our sins. When did he do that? On the cross. That's when God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That's when we have it recorded in John 19:30. It is finished. Father, I have finished the work that thou hast given me to do. What was the work thou gavest me to do? To restore my elect back to fellowship with God, to deal with sin, and to bring God the greatest word in the whole Bible, satisfaction. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. For he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. What a great work of God. Excuse me. What a great work of Christ. To do what? To bring satisfaction to the Holy Father. Can you bring satisfaction to God? Only in Christ. How in the world did he destroy Satan? Through death he destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Through death he destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Hebrews 2:14. It was his death that destroyed Satan. It was his death that took away the sin of our world. It was his death that satisfied the Father. He, God the Father, shall see the travail of his soul. Not the travail of the thorns and the nails and the spear. No, I don't want to take anything away from that. That is unbelievable. I don't want to be stuck with thorns. I sure don't want to have nails driven into my body, and I don't want a spear rammed up into my ribs. Those things are horrible. But God the Father was looking at something entirely different than that. He was looking at the travail of his soul. Is this substitute going to represent God in all of God's glory? Is he going to suffer according to that which would be acceptable for God's suffering? How did the first Adam do? Fail the test. What did he do? The woman thou gavest me. Blamed it on his wife. Who did Jesus blame? Nobody. He opened not his mouth. As a lamb that goes before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He didn't blame anybody. He said, Father, if it be your will, and it was, let this cup pass from me. And we heard him cry, my God, not my Father. This is when he was identifying with the church and her sin. Husbands, love your wife. How? As Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And that's when he gave up the ghost, gave up the spirit. Why? Didn't want to live any longer. No man can take my life. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. I have this privilege from my Father. The angels, the devil, the demons, nobody can take it away from me. I have the power and the authority to exercise the giving up of my life as I will. And when he said, why hast thou forsaken me? He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Glory to God, what a Savior. When God the Father saw that, not a shred of resistance in him, not any anger, not any bitterness,
why are you doing this to me? I've only done good. Not a shred of that. Do you realize how great your Savior is in that he had to satisfy the look of God the Father's fiery eyes and peered into his soul and looked at the travail of his soul? Have you ever stopped to consider that phrase? He shall see the travail of his soul. We're not talking about the body. We're talking about the agony of soul. And when he shall see the travail of his soul, he shall be satisfied. Greatest word in the whole Bible. My master is satisfied with me. Oh, thank you, Father, that I have the satisfaction of God upon my wicked, ungodly, sinful soul by the redemptive blood of thy Son who gave himself in my stead, and his righteousness is now accounted as ours by faith, by grace through faith. God has forgiven us and cleansed us from all unrighteousness and made us to sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So come up here. Come up hither, Revelation 4:1, regeneration. Come up hither, Revelation 11:12, ascension into glory. Revelation 4:1, I'm not moved one inch off the ground. Gravity still got me held down to the earth, but I rose up, and I begin to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But one of these days, dear soul, there's going to be coming up out off the earth, and so shall we ever be with the Lord as we meet the Lord in the air. We got a little bit of time left. Let me show you something. In the Revelation chapter 11 and verse 12, come up here. It tells us, dear soul, that this is when the two witnesses died. It says in verse, well, where do I start? In verse number 3 of Revelation 11, and I will give power unto my two witnesses. Now, there's crazy imagination about that. Let me help you with that. Before we leave. And it says, verse 7, when the two witnesses have finished their testimony, the church age is over and done with. The two witnesses have done everything they're supposed to do. The church age is finished. It says, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome and kill them. Dear soul, if the gospel ain't killed dead in the streets of America today, I don't know when it ever will be. I don't know what's fixing to happen in America. Kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Dear soul, all nations have had opportunity to have the gospel go through it, and when God was finished with it, he walked away from it. And I don't know but what God is not fixing to walk away from this nation. But nonetheless, that when they shall have finished their testimony, who? The two witnesses. These are the ones that he says, come up hither, and they rise up on their feet. Now, let's make sure we understand who the two witnesses are. One of them is Moses and Elijah. I don't think so. Were you going to believe your Bible again? Go with me to Acts chapter 5 and start with verse 29. Acts 5:29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on the tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Now listen, this is what we want to get to. Who are the two witnesses? Acts chapter 5 and verse 32.
And we, this is Peter talking, representing the church. We, the church, are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. Who are the two witnesses? Acts 5:32, the church and the Holy Spirit. So when God says they shall have finished their testimony in Revelation chapter 11, then he calls them to, as it were, lay dead. Not physically dead, born-again believers, killed and laying dead in the ditch, but the gospel and the witness of God has been removed. The testimony is finished. Those are the ones that God says, come up hither. And that's when the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I trust that this has been a blessing to you. It has been a blessing to me. Our time is gone. I trust that you will listen to this message carefully and that tell others that are trapped in this millennialism, in this era, in this false doctrine. If you've got the rapture of the church in Revelation 4:1, you are presently sitting Christ off his throne. You need to be careful of your soul. You can't just go along with it because that's what we've always believed. Well, we've always been wrong. I had to admit that myself, and I'm admitting it to you. For many years, I was wrong. I wore out Scofield Bibles, and I wore out books that taught me all that stuff. I memorized it, but I couldn't remain it. I couldn't contain it, rather. It wouldn't remain. I wonder, why is this not sticking with me? Because it wasn't the truth. And then by the mercy of God Almighty, when he showed me, I was in the Spirit immediately. I said, wait a minute. That ain't the rapture. God help you like he helped me. I'm praying for you. I trust you'll pray for this poor, ignorant sinner. We're doing all that we can to make sure that these gospel messages are presented to you in a way, in a place that you can find them. And I trust you'll let others know and that they'll be able to find them as well, and that God will reveal to you those things that are the truth that shall set you free. May God bless you. Lord, we thank you for this message. We thank you for the clarity that you've given us. And we pray that you'll send it forth with power and, Lord, with edifying grace into the hearts and minds of your believers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.